Good Wednesday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. No matter where you have lived, I'm sure your life journey has brought you face to face with some tragic, horrible situations. Did you feel helpless as you watched terrible things happening, which you were powerless to do anything about? I think that's how the disciples felt as they and Jesus watched a boy writhing on the ground, foaming at the mouth, because he was under attack by a demonic force. Tears likely streamed down the face of the boy's dad who had brought the boy to Jesus, for this dad had witnessed this gut-wrenching scene many times. In fact, this dad had many times tried to protect his son from badly hurting himself during one of these demonic attacks, described for us in Mark chapter 9. Of all the people in the crowd that day, only Jesus had demon-defeating power, and Jesus unleashed that power by declaring directly to the demon, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Oh my! Do you see the authority with which Jesus spoke, even naming the demon, and not only expelling the demon from the boy, but permanently restricting that demon from ever traumatizing that boy again for the rest of his life? May I help us learn some important things about the dark kingdom from this situation? First, all demons must submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is God, the Son, and the Creator of all things, including the angelic beings, according to Colossians chapter 1. Second, demons are most often identified by their dark kingdom effect on people. This demon was both preventing this boy from hearing, deaf, and speaking, mute. Now, we don't know if this was a continuous condition, or was it only when the demon took control of the boy. I suspect the latter, because the dad had told Jesus, "I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech," Mark chapter 9, verse 17. That tells me the boy was born able to both hear and speak naturally, and did so normally until the demon took control of him. Third, by the dad's description, when the demon took control of the boy, it not only robbed this boy of speech and hearing, but also brutalized the boy, throwing him to the ground, causing him to gnash his teeth, foam at the mouth, and sometimes rolled the boy into the fire or even into ponds or pools of water. This fits with what we saw the demons doing to the man who lived among the tombs and cut himself with stones. Remember, Mark chapter 5? The demonic dark kingdom hates all human beings because we are created in God's image, and God has given us the ability to be redeemed from our sin bondage and sin condemnation by Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit is able to give a repentant sinner a new, holy, spiritual nature and actually live within that redeemed, regenerated person, according to John chapter 3 and 14. None of that is possible for any fallen angel, demon, or Satan himself. They are unredeemable, destined for the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20. The dark kingdom never seeks to help people, but always schemes to enslave them, harm them, and tempt them to harm themselves. Just look around, friends, wherever you live, and you should see many, many examples of people under demonic influence, living dreadful, dark lives of despair. Now, look closely to see what happened as Jesus commanded the dark spirit to release the boy. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out of him. The boy looked so much like a corpse, many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Mark chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Again, I urge you to compare this dramatic change to what happened when Jesus commanded the demons to leave the man who lived among the tombs, Mark chapter 5, verse 15. What a huge contrast! Demonic, out of control, self-destructive bondage, or calm, peaceful, normal life. While Mark doesn't tell us, I presume a grand reunion took place as dad wrapped son in his arms and they rejoiced talking with each other while the crowd erupted in celebration. For the disciples, however, this was troubling and they had a very important question for Jesus. Why could we not drive out the dark spirit? Oh my, that seems so presumptuous, so prideful. Were they assuming that just because they were walking along with Jesus, that somehow his divine power was being transferred to them by association or even proximity? Do we sometimes do that? Do we assume that just because we attend church or financially contribute or maybe even serve at a church, that somehow God empowers us? Do we understand such empowering is a great work of the Holy Spirit of God? Most of these disciples were not yet even fully convinced of Jesus' true identity, much less few of them had yet placed their full trust in Jesus or even understood his prediction that soon he would die and be raised to life in fulfillment of his God-given mission on earth. Perhaps you've noticed Mark and Matthew both report very different words from Jesus in response to this important question. Matthew's record says, "Because you have so little faith," Matthew 17, verse 20. Mark's record says, "This kind can only come out by prayer," Mark 9, verse 29. So, is this a contradiction in the Bible? No. I believe they fit together and complement each other. For any person to engage the dark kingdom requires great faith in God and in the authenticity of their relationship with Jesus Christ and their ability to use the name of Jesus authoritatively in combating dark kingdom forces. The development of that sophistication of authority in Christ is a result of mature prayer life in which a redeemed follower of Jesus is frequently and with spiritual maturity engaging with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We must never either minimize or sensationalize the spiritual miracle of our authority as redeemed, spirit-filled followers of King Jesus, engaging combatively with forces of the dark kingdom. For the disciples, what they had witnessed and experienced with Jesus in these days at Caesarea Philippi, the transfiguration of Jesus, and now this demonized boy, all within a few days was overwhelming, but very strategic in preparing them for what would happen in a few weeks that Passover weekend, which we now call Easter. I'll be ready to meet again tomorrow with you as we walk with Jesus and his disciples.